CliffCentral.com.
There's Lauryn Hill. Mm-mm-mm.
That thing, that thing, that thing.
You know,
you know, she was once 2 hours late for a concert because she said, and I quote, "I was aligning my energies."
Mm. Yeah. Oh. And then there was a separate incident where she was high out of her mind on stage and she wasn't even able to sing.
Her name is Lauryn Always Late Hill. It's just...
and.
Just was it is.
And she never remembers to pay her taxes.
No. So we probably helped her out by playing that song.
Speaking of being late, Justice Malala was at ENCA yesterday.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so he's not just late for us sometimes. He's late there as well.
Was he rushing into the building?
Yeah. He was rushing. I was like, "Hey, Justice, how are you doing?" He's like, "I'm late. I'm late. I got to go."
Yeah.
Then this other guy wanted a selfie with him. And he's like, "I'm late. I've got to go." And he was running up the hill.
But that, did I tell you that I spotted him brunching last week, though? I was like, this is
where
such
did you see him?
Unlike, no, by Mr. The way, Malala thing.
We're on did Malala alert. You? We're on Malala alert. So anybody who sees Justice anywhere needs to take a picture of him.
Yeah.
Actually, when you bring that up, he was brunching at Tasha's, of all places.
Okay.
And having a very, what looked like an intense conversation over brunch with this guy, and you know, I walked over and I hate to just walk
past
the
guy
people.
Who's paying him for the assassination.
That's it.
Every bounty hunter's got a boss.
Because I'm trying to, you know, greet, and I was like, "Hi, Mr. Malala," and you go, "Mm-hmm." It was just a little mumble, and he was back to
oh, he didn't want to.
Oh, he didn't want to acknowledge you.
So I was
even.
Like, "Oh, maybe he's like trying to keep me safe, so let me just carry on."
You give
past.
Him space in public.
Yeah, really.
So I was like, "Oh, well, we see you tomorrow," because it was a Wednesday when I saw him and he just like grumbled again. I was like, this is C-3.
You wanted you out of the picture.
Yes.
I think it's very naive of you to think that Justice actually wants to talk to you in public.
How dare you be so full of
Once
yourself.
Once again, natural predisposition on a high horse.
All right. So we didn't get to Said by Sia, so let's do that first and foremost, and then we'll get to some news. Sia, give us something to make us feel better on this Tuesday. It's going to be a short week, so...
Yeah, well...
Don't you dare complain that this week is too much work.
We're switching things up a bit today. So it's a bit of a Year of Yes mini update as well.
Oh, yeah, we need an update on your Year of Yes.
Yes, so part of it happened this weekend with the whole casino thing, and I was like, yeah, why not? Yes. And then, because my friends twisted my arms, I'm going to Opikopi next week.
Oh, are you?
I don't know how things will go, but I just said yes.
Sure. Is Opikopi the one where after you come back you need to
dusty as hell
and shower 7 times like in a row?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You need lice shampoo, tick medication, gonorrhea testing.
Whoa.
What was the other one? Oh,
basically, they stick a high pressure hose up your backside.
Oh,
and then it just washes out every because it's so filthy.
This is everything that I don't need
bath.
To hear right now.
You go bath in Dettol for the whole week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so because
when you cough, there's dust.
Because I'm really trying to commit
and if you
to
take
the
one
entire
of those,
experience.
If you take one of those cotton buds, those Q-tips you put in your ear, there is so much revolting stuff that comes out, apparently. I mean, I've never been.
Mm.
Apparently that for weeks afterwards, it's just brown and filthsome.
Ooh, can you imagine the stuff that gets caught up your nose?
Oh, you blow your nose.
Oh, it's not like, just the drugs that people will take.
Trust me. But you're going to have a good time.
Well, I'm committing to it to the point where they told me that, like, the showering situations aren't the best and you just need a pack of wet wipes for the weekend.
Just be strong, Sia. Be strong.
So, no, it's fine. So, in order just to prepare myself for next week, here are 7 tips to break out of your comfort zone
that we can
actually all start on today. So, are we ready for this?
Yeah.
You know, there's a quote by a Neil Donald Walsh, who said, "Life begins at the end of your comfort zone." So let's try this. 7 little tips for this week. The first one, do random acts of kindness. You know, so often we stay in our own little bubble and we might not know and we're just like, ugh, but how do I approach other people? So let's start off by trying to do something kind for someone else, right?
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, we can maybe pay for coffee. You know, as we're buying our own coffee at a store, we can pay for someone else's coffee. We can just wave at someone else, or we can start off with that. That seems nice and gentle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not too much to ask. Second, this is a very mild way for some people, but for me, this is kind of major. Startle your taste buds. So when we often order the same thing over and over again, or we just don't like experimenting with our food, let's try something new in terms of our food this week, right?
All right.
Okay, I'll have the damn octopus.
For me, it's just having cashew nuts this morning. I'm just like, ugh, I'm not going to do that, but I'll try. Okay, third one, to get out of your comfort zone this week and embrace a new, bigger, bolder life, strike up a conversation with someone you ordinarily wouldn't.
Oh.
So whether this might be a stranger, or maybe this is someone you just like walk past in the office and you're never just like, ugh, why not? So let's try a little compliment maybe.
Well, we're such a small office. No one really can ignore each other and get away
I
with
do.
It here.
I just like, you know.
No, you
but
don't.
But it's kind of easy for my belly because that could be anybody in her world. Literally anybody outside this door.
You know what, Ben? You look nice today.
Wow.
Ben, you see? See? I started.
That's nice. Maybe Mabali also might want to take tip number 4, because that's just also saying, I love you. When last did you actually say, I love you to someone?
This past weekend.
Oh, that, okay. Yeah. See, that's nice.
I say it fairly often and I mean it, but it's not, when I say it, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's romantic necessarily. Yeah. I mean, like, I love you is a thing I say.
Yeah. Family members,
necessarily,
friends.
Necessarily? So there's a hint?
What do you mean?
No. If you say I love you, like, especially to family or to friends, that's you certainly don't have any romantic.
No, obviously, but you said necessarily, so that would mean maybe there is something else on the go here.
No.
I'll throw us a bone here, Cliff.
No. But, Ben, the floor is yours. Do you want to say anything to any one of us?
No.
Okay.
I conduct all that in my private life quite well, I think.
That moment is missed. Number 5. These are tips to break out of your comfort zone, and these are the things you can start doing today. Take a baby step towards completing a big goal of yours. So maybe you've always wanted to write a book. How about you actually just put 2 sentences down and an idea together? Maybe you've wanted to... I don't know, you've wanted to be a chef. So how about you research cooking classes in your community? Okay. So let's take one baby step towards accomplishing something we've always wanted to do. This cool. also helps, I think, in breaking things down so that it's not this overwhelming thing that you want to do. Okay. Number 6, how about we scan the ads and we sign up for something?
Uh-oh.
This is a big commitment. But yeah, maybe along the lines of those cooking classes, along the lines of meeting new people around
you
in the community.
Oh, I think you meant those Russians are always trying to get
No, Russian order bride, guys.
My parents both very, very impressive doctor, but I can't get the job. Maybe come to South Africa, live with you, make you very happy, make you cook the food.
No. We can scan clean PG-13 ads. Okay. And it's also breaking out of your comfort zone, getting to do something you don't ordinarily do. Right. And then lastly, how about we unplug? So when you go out for dinner or you're meeting your friends, how about you consciously decide that you won't be on your phone, or this week you won't scan Facebook as much as you do, and you just live in the moment.
I had this conversation with Toby Shapshack the other day. We went for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he has uninstalled Facebook from his phone.
Oh.
Because he doesn't really use Facebook that much.
Yeah.
But you still and scroll.
No, this is the problem. He said it's a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And he's disabled all notifications. Except for, I think, WhatsApp and phone calls.
So he'll get to those notifications when he decides to.
Correct. Like, he's not under pressure that he gets a notification, then he has to go and check it out there and then, you know. I think a lot of us feel that way.
Yeah.
And he said it's improved his life. You know, he just had a kid a little while ago, and he said that you don't need these extra pressures.
Mm.
If you think about it, just take off the notifications. Even if you don't uninstall the app, you can just take the notifications off your phone.
I've never thought of that. And actually,
it'll make things easier, man.
Have you ever noticed how as soon as your phone pings, you instantly look at it?
Oh, always. Mm. That's why I'm going to do it right now.
I've just decided
I'm going to do it for Instagram. I'm going to do it for Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'll do it for Twitter as well. Also, don't need to see those.
There are a lot of us that are waiting on our phones, like just sitting and waiting for a notification.
Right.
We can't wait for that next notification to come in.
I'm switching off.
See, like, one thing that I do is when I'm, you know, whether it's in a meeting or if I'm at dinner with someone, I flip my phone over. So yes, I'll still hear it ping, but it's not this thing of, oh, who is it and what happened and I need to see this. So that's actually a good tip. I like that.
All right. Okay. Well, that's what I'm doing.
There we go. 7 small ways to break out of your comfort zone this week. It's a nice little way to kick off your 4-day weekend. Your
cool.
weekend or
I
week.
Like it. Those are all good. All right. Let's get into some news. Let's see what's going on in the world. And Mubs, are we any closer to war with North Korea?
Well, yes, we are, Gareth, because North Korea's foreign minister announced yesterday that President Donald Trump has declared war on North Korea.
Uh-oh.
And that Pyongyang reserves the right to take countermeasures. And this includes shooting down U.S. strategic bombers, even if they are not in the country's airspace. So according to North Korea...
Sorry, just one more time. That includes shooting...
Shooting down any aircraft, any planes, any bombers, American bombers, that are circling around in the North Korean airspace. The North Koreans say that they will shoot them down and they will not ask questions.
Wow. Okay?
They will just start shooting. That's what they say. So the foreign minister is Ri Yong-ho.
Yeah, of course.
And he told reporters in New York.
He's a Ri Yong-ho.
We're so childish, aren't we, Grace?
He told reporters in New York over the weekend. In fact, yesterday, he said the whole world should clearly remember it was the U.S. who first declared war on our country. Since the United States declared war on our country, we will have every right to make countermeasures, and that includes the right to shoot them down. Any strategic airplanes, aircraft, any of that stuff. Now, Trump had warned the North Korean leader in his UN address last week, if threatened, he would totally destroy the country of 26 million people. And then he also mocked Kim as a rocket man on a suicide mission. And then Kim came back and called him. What did he call Trump again? Oh, I can't remember. But there's been this whole back and forth between the two of them.
He's a word, like, some sort of word that was last used in Shakespeare.
Yeah, yeah.
Dotard or something.
Something like that.
Who would you back in an arm wrestling competition? Kim or Don?
Oh, yeah, see, Kim's got the age.
Well, Trump has a small hand.
Trump has small hands.
Small hands. Yeah, which must be kind of creepy to hold for more than 3 seconds.
Small hands.
And he's probably just going, yeah, you like that, you like that. Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, we're going to see this. We're going to see it now.
How old is Trump again? He's what?
He's same age as Jacob, 70.
I mean, if it's arm wrestling, I've got a side closer to Kim than to
and
the
also,
old man.
Those Koreans have always been good wrestlers. Because they're quite short, and they're quite center of gravity is down there. So when it comes to...
Good point.
Yeah.
And by the way, do you know that Trump is the second fattest U.S. president ever?
How did we even
what do you mean?
Get to
what
compile
do you, what,
this information?
You know, he always likes to be, I'm the greatest, I'm the biggest winner, I do the best deals, I'm the best at this, I'm the best at that, I have this.
He loves to boast about what he's, you know, top rank in.
All right.
Well, he's the second fattest president in U.S. history.
Oh, in American history.
Because
I thought, when you said ever, I thought globally.
No. And the fattest, is the fattest kind of recent? Or was it historically?
Howard Taft.
Boy, he just sounds like he Howard, likes the
Howard S. Taft was his name, and he was president around the turn of the century.
How do people make these...
Well, you weigh your president.
He does look plumpy.
So the president gets weighed. And that information gets
like a vital stat to me.
Gets revealed.
Yeah, I think so. Look, you could see he's looking a little corpulent. I think he's stressed. Yeah, I think he's stressed. He's eating because he's stressed.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures of Howard Taft.
Yeah, Howard Taft is a big man, right? So he was the biggest, and Donald is the second fattest president.
Wow, and there's been a lot of presidents
through
various times.
But they all have had to keep fairly if Nixon could keep keep thin and fit, if Kennedy could keep fit with his broken back,
Bill was promiscuizing.
Bill was probably the third fattest.
Then when he went vegan.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
What about George Sr.?
No, he was
George
never
Cena
fat.
Was like a rake. He was like Mr. Burns.
Really?
Yeah. Mr. Burns. W is really fit. And Obama was really fit.
Yeah.
He was lean.
Playing basketball.
But Clinton used to go for runs. He used to go for a run. And then...
Where does he run? Outside of the White House?
He used to run outside
the girls' dorms at most campuses.
Exactly, with the Secret Service. Yeah. And then he'd say, hey, honey. As he'd walk past some chick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Be like on her way to a secretarial job at the Congress.
Party people.
I remember you. Come run with me.
No. Kim is 33 years old.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's totally going to win this arm wrestle.
Yeah.
What? All right, who would win a boxing match?
Kim again.
You reckon?
Now that I know his age.
Yeah, but you'd hit Donald once he would freak out.
Okay, well, I don't want to be...
I mean, if it's going to be physical challenges, the numbers are on Kim's side.
Just, I think so.
Just because of biology. Like, I know he's what younger, he's stronger, you know.
This is what we need to do. Play Battleships. D7.
Yeah, and guys, like, just... Sort your shit out between the two of you. Don't drag your nations into it.
It should be a game of rest of the world. Game of battleships. You can buy it for like $200.
Yeah.
And just go and play it, and then that's the end of it.
We can even play it with actual people. Like, put people on the board. If you have a couple of generals that you're willing to sacrifice.
Well, we know Kim is always willing to sacrifice someone. I mean, he's always even ready family. For people to be taken out, whether it's through firing squad.
Even family, he's not
exactly. He sacrificed more people than anyone in the Bible ever did.
So,
and they were weird.
What's the latest here? Is the war talk ratcheting up?
Mm. That would seem to be the case. And then you also have a lot of political analysts who are writing, you know, a lot of opinion pieces about why North Korea and the U.S. can never actually follow through on any of their threats because it would be catastrophic for the rest of the world. So there's still a lot of smack talk between the two of them. But as of Monday, North Korea is saying, well, you people have now declared war on us. And mm-hmm. our next step is going to be to shoot down any of your planes that we see. So.
Yeah, it's getting nasty.
It is getting nasty.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like this will get messy very quickly.
Well, if you think about it, let's go to worst case scenario. Maybe this is what Kim wants. Maybe it's what Donald wants.
Mm-hmm.
But if the worst case scenario is that they start nuking each other, mm-hmm. we're in the best position. We've had this discussion before, but we're in a great place. We're the furthest from them. Very, very unlikely that as much fallout will come our way as everywhere else.
We aren't a threat.
No.
So are you saying that we wouldn't be as adversely affected by the fallout?
Well,
if those two decided to start...
All the world will, because, you know, markets will go crazy. It's going to be a very hard time. You're not going to be able to buy fuel. That kind of thing will happen. But we're in a better position than anyone else. Geographically, we've got a fairly isolated situation. I would say that if I were a really rich person on the west coast of America or in Japan, I would be buying property in South Africa.
Mm.
You see, you're far enough from everything. It's either really here or New Zealand.
See, now this should have been the opening bid yesterday at the Rugby World Cup.
We should
have
said, if Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump start nuking each other, France and Ireland are terrible places to be. Rather go to South Africa. There'll still be a World Cup to be had.
This is true.
Yeah.
Getting a pretty good deal. This place is gorgeous. So,
I mean, I'm trying to see the silver lining, you know? If they do go to all-out war... We'll be in a better position than most countries. What else is going on?
All right, just to bring it back home for a second. The delay by the board of SAA in presenting their ailing parastatals annual financial statements may be a ploy to help President Jacob Zuma keep his close friend Dudu Mieni on the SAA board. At least that's according to the DA. Who, through their spokesperson, have said in a statement that the finance minister, Malusi Gigaba, seems to have been mischievous when he told Parliament Standing Committee on Finance that it was not foreseeable that SAA's annual results would not be ready in time. They were supposed to be made available by the end of August. They still have not been made available. And the DA are saying, no. This is just another ploy by the president through his finance minister to keep Dudumieni on the SAA board.
Why is she so? I mean, she's an unmitigated disaster. And I see they're even willing. Malusi Gigaba keeps saying he isn't, but we're hearing rumors from inside Treasury that apparently he's thinking of taking PIC money. That's Public Investment Corporation. That's everybody's pensions, everybody's insurance in the public service, and taking that money to bail out SAA. I mean, can you imagine? How much power does this Dudumieni have? But she's really powerful.
But like, what could she have power around? I mean, sexual favors are one thing, but you know, illegitimate children? Is this the secret?
Who knows?
Yeah, how can you have that much power that you're bleeding billions out of the state? Billions. Because that's what she... I mean, Donald Trump would look what she's wasted, and he'll be amazed at the billions involved.
Billions and billions and billions and billions.
Now, Mieni was supposed to complete her third term as chairperson at the end of August, but Treasury said that she can only be replaced at the airline's AGM, which can only occur in November. And this is due to the delay in the publishing of their financial annual results. So now the DA have sent a written request to the finance minister for him to urgently provide reasons as to why SAA's annual financial statements are not yet ready, as is requested by law, mind you.
Hmm. Wow, what a disaster, SAA. Mm. What a mess. How do you end up with everything tilted in your favor and you still screw it up? You have to be so grossly incompetent. Grossly incompetent. I mean, Dudumieni should be so embarrassed, she should be willing to resign and go and hide. It's like, what are you going to do next, Dudu? I'm going to hide. I'm so embarrassed that I've screwed up so badly. I'm going to hide away where no one has to see me again, because what I've done is so abominable and so just, it just smacks of the worst kind of unscrupulous behavior. Really, she should be embarrassed, but instead she's there and she's, yeah, woo, bring it on. Give me another job. Mm. Who knows what she'll be asked to do next.
Now, let me ask you this question. If you were cashing in a salary, an annual salary of just over R1 million, and then you were also being allocated a budget of nearly R60 million, would you say that that is not enough money for you?
What's the budget? What's the 60 million rand budget for?
Is that your department's
budget?
It's
for you, Sia. It's for your lifestyle. It's for you to live, for you to... It goes.
I would say that anyone
it
who,
goes to you.
Anyone who spends 60 million rand a year and mm-hmm. still gets R1 million salary on top of that, and is complaining, needs to be taken outside and shot in the head.
Oh
well, I have to admit, it really isn't enough. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you would also then.
Okay, so
you would
two different points of view.
You would then be like the Zulu King, Goodwill Zwelithini, lashed out at the provincial government, accusing them of failing to pay him what he deserves.
What?
Based on what?
The monarch was speaking at a King Shaka Zulu commemoration in Stanga, north of Durban, this past weekend. He has bemoaned what he described as a lack of financial recognition. They're just not giving him what he's worth, saying that he received no stipend from the state. Now, as I mentioned, Zwelithini cashes in an annual salary of over R1 million and is allocated a budget of nearly 60 million by the office of the KwaZulu-Natal Premier.
Sounds like a lot of money.
He said, there's no money I get from the government because even the provincial government doesn't recognize me. These are now his own words. I don't get a stipend. There is no money I get from government. I don't get paid because the provincial government doesn't recognize me and the stipend I deserve as a Zulu king.
Wow, he's so entitled, huh?
I wonder what he thinks then he deserves in a figure.
Yeah, and why must the rest of us pay for you?
The royal household received 58.8 million rand in the 2017 and 2018 financial year, as is recorded in provincial documents. Some 16.5 million rand of that was ring-fenced for the Royal Household Trust to cater for the remuneration of staff, their 7 board members, as well as the Queen's expenses, including travel and accommodation.
You say the word the Queen. You know, in England, obviously, they...
Queens, plural.
Queens. Okay, so the Queen. Everyone goes on about the fact that the British family, the British royal family, gets so much money, but they bring so much in through tourism. And they really are a part of...
No, the Zulu King brings in a fair amount. It's not. It's nothing near 50. It's nothing near 50 million. And he doesn't personally do a lot of work around trying to bring that in. I mean, he is... I don't see him doing a lot of public engagements outside of KwaZulu-Natal.
Speaking out on certain things.
Well, when he does speak up, he often says the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You know, so I question whether or not we should be paying someone at all who's making xenophobic comments and just generally. But didn't he also say a while ago that apartheid was better than what the ANC have given us?
Was that him?
It was him. Hmm. He said like he preferred working with the apartheid government to working with this government. And I thought, you know what? That's really ungrateful of you. Let's take away your money.
No, more money, according to the king. He wants more.
He wants more.
Yeah, he says that he's just not being given what he deserves.
You see, I think we're all too polite. Maybe he's got the right idea. Maybe we should all just say, you give me the money I deserve.
Which is what, though, when your entire life is...
He says 60 million is not enough. So he needs more than 60 million, so I'll be happy to settle on 10. How about you, Sia? How much are you going to settle for?
The reason why I said, you know, that wasn't enough for me is because, you know, booking Celine Dion as my own private alarm ringtone every morning, live bedroom performance, that's a lot of money every single day. So we need to bump the cheese
just
up.
Just out of interest, which song is she singing when she wakes you up in the morning?
Every Day Changes. You know, but sometimes I just want her to emulate a bird, to just chirp in tune, you know, and then I'll wake up.
Oh my gosh! You are insane.
You'd be such... See, I would be the worst rich person.
Yeah. Yeah, he would.
We discussed this the other day, and Mabali and I came to the conclusion that out of any of us, you know, if Ben suddenly hit the jackpot and ended up, like, worth hundreds of millions, if Mabali did, if I did, if Amanda did... Any of those, the worst person would be Sia. He would so quickly turn on us.
I've thought about it as well recently. He would do
nothing for us.
No.
If Mabali went to him and said, listen, my asthma's got so bad, I have to be hospitalized for the rest of my life, all it would cost
you. Girl, it ain't my lungs.
Exactly. He would arrive in a full length, like, fur coat.
Yeah.
He would. It would be massive.
Jewelry encrusted just
and
everywhere.
There would be two shirtless boys carrying his bag, like, one guy carrying a laptop, other one carrying. Just a general man bag.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And he would want the show...
Moisturizer.
He would want the show to start at 5:58, just so everyone could look at him for 2 minutes flat.
Yeah. Say a thing.
On radio, they'd look at me. Yeah.
I've always thought that Sia would be that kind of person who insists on walking on rose petals, like in Coming to America.
Of course, those are the boys that be putting down.
The boys will be putting down a lot, Ben.
I now...
But yeah, the rose petals,
the boys
would
be putting out a lot.
Hey. I now just want to also hire all of the people that dislike me and my exes as well. Just to pay them to be around me. They don't have to do anything, but they must just see me live a fabulous life.
And you'll pay them just enough to be able to scrape through.
They must just be in the vicinity. Wow. See me laughing.
See what I mean? See how mean he would be.
Completely.
So this is why I won't get
King
the
Goodwill, if you were King Goodwill's relatini, you'd be even worse, is what we're trying to say here. Like somehow,
as if it wasn't bad enough.
Somehow you would have plumbed new depths. Listen, I don't have a problem with the king. I think a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, this is an anachronistic thing. The king is a, you know, doffing the cap to a bygone era. But I think it's quite important. I mean, I saw an interview with Mangosuthu Buthelezi, and we just came out of Heritage Day. And he was talking about his own family history. And of course, he is, you know, from a sort of side branch of the royal family in KwaZulu-Natal. And it's interesting to study that history, and I'm fascinated by it. And I also do think that King Goodwill's relatini, or the royal family in KZN, do a lot of important things when it comes to maintaining the tradition and the culture and keeping things relevant in a lot of ways, and transforming society from a tribal chieftain point of view, and there are things that they do that I think are valuable. But to be asking the public to pay for you, and particularly the public who are not Zulu, because it's not like you could separate Mabali and Gareth and Ben and Sia. Really, the only one who should be paying for him out of the four of us is Sia. Because Sia Zulu.
Yeah.
The rest of us are not. So we shouldn't have to pay for his king. Do you know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying.
So I might pay for a different king. I don't have one. As far as I know, Ben doesn't. You got a Polish king? No?
No.
No, no, Steve. Mavs, you, well, technically,
my roots
are Lesotho,
so technically I should be paying for that guy.
Let's see. You know him?
Do I know him personally?
Well,
I'm not that connected.
Isn't he like big friends with Prince Harry? Like the two of them hang around together.
Is he?
Yeah, they're close. So, Sia, while you were out talking to Palesa, mm-hmm. we decided the only one out of the four of us who should be paying for the Zulu King is you, because you're Zulu.
Hi, guys.
See?
Hi.
Yeah.
King Letsie III of Lesotho. Yeah. The third.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Because Harry goes down to Lesotho and does some outreach thingies.
I don't know what we're saying.
Is he single? Okay. Never mind. Moving on. Let's move. I'll save my good was ready to make a move.
Wow.
Wow. All right. Anyway, I don't have a problem with the idea of King Goodwill Zwelithini. I don't have a problem with that person in particular. I don't think he's a horrible human being, but I do think he's very entitled here, and he shouldn't be just willing to extract money from South African taxpayers just because he's the king. How about you pay your own way? How about you? He has like four or five palaces.
Ooh.
And he drives very, well, he doesn't even drive them. He has other people driving him around in very expensive cars. You could bring it down a level, dude. You know?
Yeah.
Just take it down a little. Then we'll be happy.
Or if you justified it.
I reckon he should cut the budget. He should say to South Africa, listen, it's 2017 and I'm going to prove to you that I am worth the money that you pay. So I'm going to cut it down to 40 million. 40 million from 60. But then we'd go, wow, what a guy. Probably support him more.
Mm.
All right, what else?
Well, according to at least one expert, there is one epidemic that is causing a host of potentially fatal diseases, and it can affect absolutely every single one of us.
What is it?
He's described it as a catastrophic sleep loss epidemic.
Oh.
This is a thing, people. This is a real thing.
Well, anyone who's feeling tired right now, put your hands up. Even though you had a long weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Professor Matthew Walker, who is the director of the Center for Human Sleep Science at the University of California,
yes.
says that sleep deprivation affects every aspect of our biology and is widespread in modern society. Now, according to him, anything under 7 hours per night is what is described as deprivation.
Oh, anything under seven?
Yes. And I know there have been a lot of articles that have been written by different experts. Some people saying we're just fine with 6 hours. Others saying, no. We all need a minimum of 8 hours. This guy, who is the director at the Center for Human Sleep Science, says anything under 7 hours per day is considered sleep deprivation.
All right, so that means I should go to sleep at what time?
Well, what time do you wake up?
Well, I wake up at, let's say, 4:30. Yeah, okay, so if it's 4:30, I need to go to sleep in order to get my whole 7 hours. I need to go to sleep at 9:30?
9:30.
Whoa.
Ah, but you know what he says? He says that we should all be setting our alarm clocks 30 minutes before to remind you, listen, in 30 minutes, I need to sleep, because he says what you need to do is you need time to just wind down.
Okay.
That's smart.
So he says set an alarm clock for 30 minutes before your sleep time, get into bed, and then you give your body at least 30 minutes to just start shutting things down.
Oh my God.
So that's 7.5 hours.
Yeah. So these are the things that he, you know, blames as a host of interruptions in our lives, contributing to sleep deprivation. Electric lights, television and computer screens, longer commutes, I mean traffic, How much time do we spend in traffic? The blurring of the line between work and personal time. You think you've knocked off from work, but then you get home, but then your boss is still emailing you. So technically, have you knocked off? Mm. Now you're working from your phone or from your, you know, your laptop at home. And a host of other aspects of modern life have contributed to sleep deprivation, which is defined, according to this guy, as less than 7 hours a night. Now, he says the problem is that the issue is not being taken seriously, not by politicians, certainly not by employers, with a desire to get a decent night's sleep often stigmatized as a sign of laziness. Oh, you're just lazy. Stop being lazy. But this has been linked to cancer, diabetes, heart disease, stroke, Alzheimer's disease, obesity, poor mental health. These are just a few of the things that are.
It's pretty bad.
That's just more than a few. That's like everything. I mean,
all of that stuff scares the hell out of me.
Yeah. And this is all just from us not being able to get enough sleep. He says no aspect of our biology is left unscathed by sleep deprivation.
Shit.
For example, we have these cells in our bodies that naturally are prepared for an attack. So like they will fight off, you know, cancer cells or cells that become mutant. And he says that just one night of a lack of sleep reduces these cells' ability to strike and attack by 70%.
God, okay, so we have got to do this. We've got to fix this, man.
How is the question? Well, just...
Call Arianna Huffington.
What?
Well, she's the one who's been talking about sleep and how the importance of sleep.
Yes. You now saying. Sleep your way to the top, she
says. But Lisa, have we got someone on the phone here? Let me go to this line. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, man, I want to complain on this beautiful Tuesday morning. Mm-hmm. You guys spoke a while ago about the television licenses and these guys phoning you for paying your television license.
Right? Yeah.
So these fuckers from NBD attorneys, I just found out every time they make a phone call, it gets added to your bill. So they actually charge you for the phone call.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
That would make some sense. Now, isn't that ridiculous? How much is your phone bill at the moment? I mean, your TV license bill at the moment?
It's just over $2,000. But, I mean, I haven't had a TV going for probably the last, I would say, 3 years or so.
Yeah, me too. I never watch live TV. I've got I had to watch last night because Ben was on ENCA. I don't normally watch live TV. I don't even turn it on mostly. In fact, I was pleased when mine actually worked yesterday. I was kind of, wow, this is still working. That's good to know. That's about as much as I've done.
What's your bill currently on, Gareth?
What, my bill for
your TV license summon?
About what? I'll tell you now because they sent me a message just yesterday.
Mine was $849 this last weekend.
Mine is $1,300.
Yeah, it's crazy. These guys, I can't believe it. So they actually can charge you for the phone call they make. And then what they do is they also don't always speak to you. They'll make the call, you'll pick up, you'll go like, and you'll go, hello, 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 and they'll put the phone down on you. But you'll actually get billed for it. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that. And I hope these assholes from NBT are listening, because that's not on.
Yeah, anyway. But you know that there was a company prior to this, and they were also with the phone calls and the SMSs, then they were replaced by these new dickheads. So these dickheads will be replaced by other dickheads at some stage, and so the process
can't
will follow.
Can't we move them to North Korea or something and have Donald bomb the shit out of them as well?
Yeah, well.
Maybe. Anyway.
Pay right, your guys. TV license. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, fuck that. Cheers.
All right.
Okay.
Sure. The other thing I want to do is get Jane in here later because Jane had quite a lot to say last week. There was quite a lot going on in the office, and she had an argument with Betty Bangles from the Casper Radio Show.
Shame.
Yeah.
Oh, but because
you were going to ask.
You were going
why,
to say why?
No, really I was going to say, but who doesn't as Jane argue?
Exactly.
So Betty Bangles was on. With Casper on Friday, and she's on the cover of a magazine, so some new magazine out. And it's a gay magazine, right?
Out or something?
Yeah, something like that. And Betty Bangles is on the cover of it. And then Jane started talking to her, and She was getting quite full of herself, Betty Bangles.
Oh.
So Jane decided to put her in her place. You want to hear the whole discussion?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, listen to this.
Underwriting of the tickets that we were hearing about.
That's Ben again. Hang on, here.
Get off.
What's going on here?
No.
Jane is being herself.
No, Dorothy was speaking, and you know what he say? Let me bull her and give her shit.
Bull her, beat her.
Okay, just beat me. I'll beat you too.
You want a truffle?
Oh,
what's happening?
What's happening? No, she's just being her normal.
You can't
like,
even understand what
full
you
of herself,
are.
Jane.
And who are you?
Who am I?
You give me drama all the time when you are
go
here.
Go read about me.
No, I know that you are famous. You are famous. That's not my problem.
Casper.
Wat de moer gaan nie aan?
Oh
ek weet nie, ek dink Bernard begin te veel van homself dink.
Nou he's on the cover of this fucking magazine.
Of this gay magazine.
Yeah.
And now Jane is just trying to pull him down and just let him keep his feet on the ground. But
she's very good at keeping us all very humble.
Yeah, actually, like halfway buried, actually. Yeah.
She's from Limpopo, so she doesn't care about
but she's in full Rain Queen regalia today.
It's heritage. Month, you see.
Okay, that's why it's raining on her head.
Yeah, she also likes to, she likes living in the city. But all right, that was where I cut it off. But the point is, she was having a full on fight with Betty Bangles.
Jeez.
You better be ready to be taken on by Aus Jean, is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, she will. You can come here and she'll fight you for no reason. Maybe it's like an attraction we can do.
There have been times where I have observed Palesa just greeting her, and then it immediately
yes!
turns into World War II. Sorry, 3 at this stage.
Do you think Aus Jean needs, you know, some anger management classes?
Are you going to be the one to suggest that to her?
I'm not. Okay. I shall not.
But like also last week, so Daniela gave her something for her new child.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was this beautiful little outfit, and then she's all excited. And then amongst her euphoria and ecstasy, she stops for 2 seconds and goes, but Ben, Daniela's so amazing, and then there's you.
Oh.
And then she went back to saying,
never.
But she just took her time. It's like, wow, I've got to be mean. I haven't been mean for 2 minutes. Let me stop and be mean.
No, she just had to, you know, just tell her truth in the moment.
Well, she's not afraid. I admire that about Jane. She's not afraid about anybody.
That's
she doesn't care
problematic.
What's going on around her. No, she's in charge of her life. Hey, listen, RJ Benjamin is going to join us in a short while. He, of course, we've known each other for a long, long time. He's an award-winning vocalist, songwriter, composer, vocal coach, music director, producer. And we're going to find out all about him, hear a new song or two. And we'll get to talk to him about what's been going on. He's got some very interesting stories to tell, and he performed a number of times. I mean, obviously on Idols, that's where we know him from mostly. But he also was the musical director of Clash of the Choirs, and he's got a new EP out, which we'll play All Falls Down from in just a moment or two. So lots of good stuff to talk to RJ Benjamin about. Here's an email from – you want some listener email?
Okay.
All right, this one is from Monet. Says, hey, Gareth, now that... by the way, did you see Tumi Morake's response to all this jacaranda stuff?
Is this still going on?
She
put out
a tweet.
Yeah, she put out a statement. It was very short and sweet. And I thought it was so appropriate just ahead of Heritage Day because it's got a lot of people thinking about how this is not their fight, and you can't inject and project your own stuff onto Dumi and expect her to carry your cross. Whether you're white and you think that she was racist, or whether you're black and you think that she's standing up to the man, whatever the case is, don't project yourself into her world. She basically said, look, nothing's been forced down my throat. I haven't been victimized. I've been in charge of everything that's been going on here. The station supported me. I didn't have to apologize to anybody.
Yeah.
I didn't have to meet with Solidarity or AfriForum. Mm. I chose to. She said, the point is we must all start realizing that there's room for different opinions. Now, I've just got to say, I was backing her from the beginning, and I back her even more after saying this, because there's a woman who's standing up for herself in an environment where maybe black women were not that well represented up to now. And for her to be as forthright as she has been, to be as open-minded and as sensible as she's been, to me, we love you. Congratulations.
Yeah, She said, you know, that she still stand by her statements, unapologetically so. But I think the important thing for, you know, as part of her statement was her saying, look, going forward, it's important for us to engage because, you know, she said we need to stop giving voice to the extreme right and the extreme left who really push these kinds of conversations for their own agenda. So she says it's about all of us reaching across from the different sides of the perspectives that we find ourselves on and just start engaging. Just start talking to each other.
I will have to say, in this day and age of so many fights and hoopla and this one getting outraged, it was actually refreshing to come across a situation now where people actually thought about, okay, what is my move? So Dumi kept quiet up until she really spoke and said what she had to say. The station as a brand as well also, you know, tracked their steps properly. It's unfortunate that they even had to be in this situation. But usually it would have been bigger if people were just dropping, aye, futsal here and F-bomb there and like, ah, well, yeah. You too.
And everybody else wanted to get all like angry and the sensible thing was what Dumi did.
And
so
that
good for
I
her.
Think speaks so much to her character then.
Yeah. Well, I hate to say it, but we were right. We backed her from the start.
No, I don't hate to say it. I don't.
Well, I hate to say I told you so, but there we go.
I'll also say it on your behalf.
Here are some interesting points of view. This is from Kelly. She says, Kim will land the first blow with age on his side, but I feel Donald will do a mountain of cocaine and fuck him to death like Mr. Garrison from South Park.
Oh,
yeah, see,
okay.
That's smart. I forgot about that.
That's an interesting...
totally forgot about that offensive.
Kelly.
Yeah.
Approach.
Right. America should just Muammar Gaddafi this Kim dude. This is from Vince. Kim is just a crazy asshole. Or maybe Donald and Kim should just smoke a peace joint.
Maybe they should. We should send them both out to go and do ayahuasca. And then in that state...
And they can purge each other.
In that state, they should try and resolve their issues.
Then someone else says, so Trump is not the best at being fat. What a loser. He's the second fattest president, not the fattest. I've had notifications off on my phone forever, except for WhatsApp. I also do not have notifications from WhatsApp groups. It helps.
Oh, yeah.
That's
just
very cool.
All of those.
Yeah. See, I feel like WhatsApp, you sometimes mix business and pleasure because we've got work groups on there. We've got friend groups. You know, there's all those kinds of things.
Mm.
Do you have to kind of have that on? The Facebook stuff, I don't think you need to have that on. And I hate when people want to do business on Facebook or even worse on Instagram. Like, they want to send you important information, business information on an Instagram direct message. I mean, I'm going to struggle to take that seriously. I know that any way you can get hold of someone these days is acceptable. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't really take it all that seriously on Instagram. I can't. You know, this is a place where you like put up photos
of your lunch. Now
you want me to do a business deal with you. It's kind of a little odd. Just saying. I just tuned in. I missed what was wrong with Meowses. I'm glad that she's better. That's Ashley. Wants to know what was wrong with Meowses.
Her mouth needed some attention. Her gums weren't doing so well and she had two teeth that needed to be extracted. And the more I talk about it with people, apparently this is what makes pets live longer. The moment you take rotten teeth out, the animals like thrive. And it's actually very common.
And here's a cost advantage comparison for imported beer between Ireland, France, and South Africa. So in Ireland, a beer will cost you £4.25 or 25 pence there. In France, £5.70, so that's much more expensive. And in South Africa, by comparison, £1.75.
Well, there we go.
That settles it then.
That settles it,
it
really.
It must come here.
So then the World Cup, that's easy.
2023.
And that was the best reason to have the World Cup in South Africa, according to someone here. Quentin says, thank you, Mubs. Thank you for putting these snobs in their place. I was thinking the same. My buddy just sorted us all out earlier.
Quentin, if you've got a problem, there is a helpline that you can phone and they'll get you away from the slot machines.
We were talking.
Winners know when to stop.
We were talking earlier about how people who sit in front of a slot machine must be a bit stupid. So I don't know if that's
did
changed.
You read that email? Or did
no,
you
actually didn't get to it.
Oh, forget about
okay,
it.
Okay, no, well, this was about the whole Dumi situation.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
So it was all about Kagiso Media and they need to set an example to the youth of South Africa and make sure that people learn how to share the bike.
We'll take turns on the bike.
Find a way to share the bike. Just reminds me of when we went to where was it? It was sort of a family kind of get together thing, mm-hmm. and my sister-in-law brought the bicycle for her son, for my nephew, right? And then the other kids all didn't have bicycles there. So then they all had to learn to share the bicycle. I don't know if it actually worked, because mm-hmm. I think they all started just screaming, because you know how kids are.
Yeah.
And adults are not much better.
And our household, you get that taken away.
Then it gets taken away. Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. So then there's no reason for you to fight anymore. All right. When we come back, we'll check in with RJ Benjamin. We'll take your thoughts, your calls. That's about all we got time for in the news this morning. And it's Tuesday. It's going to be a short week. Before you know it, weekend again.
Woohoo!
I know. Isn't that great?
Oh, la la la. La la la.
Mother's so happy. All right. Let's get into that summer vibe.
Oh, my
first
deal.
Rains for Joburg last night.
CliffCentral.com.